Hey, welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. My name is Chris. Today's guest, Kenny Carkeet, from coming coast to coast here today. I'm in Atlanta here in the Between Dreams space. Kenny is in somewhere around Los Angeles.
Thousand Oaks, about 40 miles north of LA.
So right before we started filming this, I said I was going to give Kenny the opportunity to give his own brag-worthy intro, because I know Kenny from music world, particularly. We had a fun little one-week mini tour up the West Coast with the band Fitness while you guys were opening for, just a classic favorite of so many of a certain generation of people, The Sounds, opening for The Sounds. That was like an iconic, epic moment. It was helping you guys make some like live tour footage, and cool video came out of that. That was fun.
What are those experiences, man? That's amazing.
Yeah, that was so fun. So like, we'll get into that, because I know Ben, who is also the listeners of this podcast will know Ben. So for full story, like, Ben was a drummer of Fitness on that and on that tour. So I know Ben from years back, and then kind of it got into your world through Ben and that band. But you kind of like took the lead of figuring out what I should be doing on that little like run of like, you kind of like were like, yeah, like we could use this type of footage or whatever. And one of my favorite things that I liked about that was like, you kind of just like always are like, yeah, cool. I don't know. Do your thing. Like, yeah, it's probably going to be awesome. Having that freedom to be flexible and adaptive, which is another of the things that we're going to get into, is kind of the core of what I really wanted to talk to you about. But, there's a whole lot of different pieces through you being on stage performing to you being behind the scenes producing. And like a lot of things from, bands and songs that everyone knows to bands and songs that not many people know.
That nobody knows.
And you being kind of a creator behind some songs that people are like, oh yeah, I know that song. And then you were like, you might be somehow a part of it. So we'll leave you to highlight the most brag-worthy and exciting things that your own resume that you get to choose. I always hate when people like say it's like give me intros and like they say things and I'm like, yeah, that was cool, but I would have left that out. So we're giving it to you. Give me your 30.
God, this is tough. Is it like top one brag? This is what I've accomplished.
You got a minute of brags of things that you are super pumped that you got to be part of, and also maybe things that might be people like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kenny Carkeet. I've been in LA for about 15 years. I played in a band called AWOL Nation for a lot of years. The singer and I created a little song called Sail together back when we were really poor, splitting tacos and, living in our cars. And 8 or 9 years later, it sold over 15 million copies worldwide. It's the second longest charting song on the Billboard Top 100. And it changed my life, and it led me into a path of producing and creating and touring and playing shows and, making cool things. And it's been quite the ride, and that's kind of who I am. And I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I was interested to see if you were just going to roll over that and just talk about some of the more current, projects that you're working on. It's like so many.
If that's what most people know me for, what I mean? And that's how I got most of my work. And it was, we all talk about life-changing moments, especially doing what we do, creating things and living in this entertainment world. And there's a couple moments in your life that you have that set you on a path. And that was definitely one of the biggest ones, clearly. And so, yeah, that's a big part of who I am today is what I've gone through since those days.
One of the things that I was thinking about preparing for our talk here is there's not a person in modern world who hasn't heard that song. They might
just
not,
so weird to me,
but it's like, and maybe your perception of it is different, but what is that like? Most of the people, the majority of the people who can sing along to that song will know it in the first note that hits their ears. But if they see you walking through Trader Joe's, most people probably aren't going to be like, oh, that's the guy.
Of course. Yeah.
So like, I mean, how do you balance that of like something where you're just like, do you feel like you wish people recognized you when you went to Trader Joe's?
I feel like I've somehow stumbled into the best version of of whatever that is, right? Because I got to live the dream of creating a song that did well, build a band on the back of it, play shows where, you know, within a few blocks of any show we were playing, we couldn't go anywhere, you know, it was the, you know, right, that kind of level. I've been recognized, you know, on Venice Beach sometimes and different cities. Like, it does happen sometimes, but I enjoy picking and choosing when I have those moments, yeah, right? Like, I can go play a show and I become that guy and I'm happy to meet everybody and do all that kind of stuff. But then for the most part, I just get to cruise under the radar because it was never my face. You know, that was the thing. And I really enjoyed that. So I feel like I got to go on the roller coaster ride without paying, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess as I was thinking about how I said that, I was like, oh, I don't want that to be offensive of like, oh, nobody knows or cares who you are.
Honestly, because like, it's always weird. It's like, you know, the other day, I'm at the bank, Wells Fargo and Thousand Oaks, and I hear, hey, Kenny from AOL Nation. And you're like, wow, that's so weird. You know what I mean? That's so weird that it happened. So it's not an offensive thing because it does happen, but it's just, it's strange.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a strange feeling. And then you're with your friends sometimes. And like I said, I was out surfing in Venice and these kids came up and wanted a photo. And then you're kind of embarrassed around your friends because they think you're a loser, but also these kids think you're cool. And it's a really interesting dynamic of topic of conversation, you know?
Yeah. So how did that, something like that, making something like that, and then moving on to other projects and other bands and doing a lot of other things, how does something like, so that's a moment that so many creative people are like, oh, once I do that, then the quote, I've made it, illusion. And people think like, oh, I'll hit this thing and then I'm done. And then I'll be smooth sailing. I can just hang out at Venice Beach and do whatever I want.
Right.
And it's, you know, I've not hit anything like worldwide iconic like that, but I've done a few cool things, you know, like making an Ellen appearance is the classic one for me, like getting on Ellen to do a juggling trick. And it was like, it feels like the same thing. And people are like, whoa, you did it. You made it. Like, you made it on Ellen. Now it's over. And it was like, but for like 2 days later, I was like, okay, now what do I do? Sitting at home in sweatpants and like, all right, cool. That was a cool day on Facebook. But now what am I supposed to do? And then same thing, like getting on James Corden. I was like, whoa, I did it again. Everyone's like, whoa, you did it again. You're famous. And I'm like, yeah, 2 days later, I'm sitting on the couch with sweatpants. Like,
you know
all
what? With that, really, one of the biggest things is no matter how high of a goal that you hit, right, you're that becomes the next expectations. People hold you to an expectation that you didn't create, right? So like and that was a tough thing for us with like sale and stuff, especially I think more so for Aaron, but because it was always, what's the next sale? Do you have the next sale? What's going to be the next sale? And you're like, I don't know, man. You know, don't put that kind of pressure on me. You're just trying to do your thing. So like, yeah, it's a weird thing when you hit these goals, because as great as it feels and as much as it lifts you up, there's that period after of what next, or do I need to hit this again? Because that's where I live and I don't want to be here. I need to be here. So it's a weird, ambivalent situation to be in.
Yeah.
It's a dictionary word.
Thinking. Yeah. I'm not going to use that clip in the captions because I don't know how to spell it. And so thinking about that of like what's next and like kind of thinking into these next things. So let's drop into the world that involves me and meeting you through Ben. Going from that, then going into the creating the fitness band and that whole world, which again, thinking of like an iconic world, I talked to Ben about this. It's such a, you know, with Max from Eve 6 with the same thing is like an intro. I actually ran into Max one day, and it's funny because I brought up that at Trader Joe's, and he's just like walking around with his basket in Studio
City. Hard to miss, you know?
Like, yeah.
Big just, red mohawk.
Yeah, but it was like, even with all that, like he was just walking around Trader Joe's in Studio City. Yeah. I was like, yo, Max. And then you saw it like at first, he was like, oh boy. And then he like saw that it was me. Then I was like, he was like, I saw them like sigh of relief.
Yeah,
but it was
yeah.
the same thing as like, man, that song has been everywhere for, you know, 25 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And same thing. So like leveraging that out, but like one of the coolest things seeing you guys play, like especially like that Sounds Tour where I like really got to see it from inside. Was you know, between the two of you and the three of you with Ben playing with, you know, so many bands in huge places and small places, but going from like massive festivals with like how many, what was the biggest audience you guys played? Like 20,000 people, like, or like festivals? Yeah.
80,000 ACL 2016, I think, was in front of 80 is what I was told. I don't have these verified facts, but that's what I was told.
yeah. So I want to get into that afterwards, but first, like
80,000
going from 80,000, which you can't even comprehend that many people, like a human can't really comprehend what that is, to then being willing to say, we're going to hop in this other band that nobody knows.
Or
very few people. I keep saying offensive things.
you're lucky I don't care.
to relative, a lot less people know. Not 80,000. You know, you're doing like clubs.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, like small, like clubs at like, you know,
tops,
under a
yeah.
thousand cap places. And not headlining. Sorry, more offensiveness.
Yeah, great take. Lay it on me, man. Lay it on me.
So like, how do you go from that? So like, there's a lot of people that are like, no, I play festivals that have 80,000 people. That's who I am now. It takes a lot of, something to be like, cool. That was something I did, but I'm going to go back to this. And I felt that of like doing TV appearances and then going back and playing at like a birthday party in somebody's backyard. And
I think you would understand it. It's just passion and love. And what else am I supposed to do? You know, it's like, it wasn't like we weren't chasing it. That's the big thing. Max and I, we weren't chasing anything. We weren't chasing those stages. We weren't chasing that spotlight again. You know, we had spent our entire careers having a blast and being incredibly fortunate for the circumstances that we were under. But also, you know, at a certain point, it becomes a business and it becomes a job, responsibilities and people you have to be responsible to, and egos and personalities and all this stuff. It becomes like any other business, right? And of course, it's the best job in the world. I can't say that enough. But, you know, after doing it for so long, you do kind of become, whether it's jaded or whether it's turned off by it, whatever it was, because there's all these rules. You can't say this, we can't do that, you need to wear this, we need to blah blah blah, whatever it was. When I parted ways with AWOL and Max and I made Fitness, we quickly realized that we can do anything we want because we don't care. I don't care what you think, I don't care what they think, I really don't care. So we could say anything we want, play anything we want. Can't I do a 10-minute intro? Why? Who's going to tell me I can't? And so even though, you know, we had to start, like we went back to a minivan, there was just a feeling of freedom and relief from restraint that Max and I both felt that really propelled our personalities on stage. Because, you know, in both of the situations, we're in the big bands. When you get to a level, you make a mistake, you hear about it. You make a mistake, you're going to talk about it. You know, it's a whole thing. It's a mistake. I would make a mistake on stage and then Max would make fun of me. And then I'd make another one on purpose just to make him laugh because I don't care. Right. And there was just this feeling of freedom of creating, of just being who we are. I'm wearing shorts. I made a post the other day where I was like, I'm wearing elastic waistband shorts. No, I'm not wearing boots and necklaces and things or whatever, you know, and all this stuff, my tattoos showing. It's like, I don't care. There is something so invigorating about just being ourselves, truly 100%, that it didn't matter whether we were playing to the bartenders or several hundred people. We were having fun for the first time in a long time. We were having fun again. And it reminded us how much we love playing music.
How do you get to that part? How do you do that though? Because that's an easy thing to say, like, oh, I was in this right. thing, it was stressful, or in whatever. If even people have like a day job and it's like, oh, that's stressful yeah. in its own way, different ways.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, yeah, that's easy to hear. Like, yeah, just do something that's fun, and like, whether it be a hobby or start a new project. How do you get to that point? Because there is some amount of ego attached to like, well, yeah, but it was a lot cooler sometimes. Like, right. people congratulated me a lot more on Instagram when I did the right. big thing than they do when I like am doing mm-hmm. this thing that might give me more satisfaction, but it doesn't look as like, traditionally, you
know, I don't know that there's an easy black or white thing to say to people, because of course some people are chasing their dreams with that being their sole source of income and all that they can rely on. And Max and I had had success. So yeah, we were able to joke around and fart around a little bit and kind of do what we wanted. So I get that that's different, but I guess all that I can say is that in my experience of what I've gone through and what I think Max would agree and what he's gone through, we've learned what's important and what isn't important. The competition's not important. Who charted when is not important. Who you send a fucking email to is not important. You know, and that's what it always was and what it became. You know, like, don't write this person because we already wrote them last week and this and that. There's all these puzzle pieces and all this stuff where it just loses. Art is art, whether it fails or succeeds. Doesn't have to be successful for it to be art. And even with my new solo stuff, I've adopted the mentality where I put things out and I never look at it again. I have no idea how many streams I have because I don't care. It's not for you. It's not for anybody else. It's for me. You know, and I think being the experience that I had allowed me to find that line where what's for me and what's for other people, you know? And when it became to what I want to create, I just found my soul to be in a better place, that I was more inspired and I was more motivated to create better things than when I was just trying to beat somebody else's charting position. Yeah. Right. This person got this many views on YouTube. I think I can get more. That's where it becomes this whole thing where like you forget it. Years will pass and you're like, man, I hate what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess it's to each their own, but that's what happened with me and when I was able to find that line.
So doing something like doing the art for yourself, I have a big thing in my world, thinking about audience experience in art and music and things that I create and things that I'm part of creating. And one of my big things is audience comes first. But one of the caveats of that is like, if you're asking them for money or attention. That's my whole thing is like, hey, if you're going to ask somebody to buy an album or come pay money to see your concert, like you owe it to them to deliver them an experience. And that's a really cool thing. And it's like, and I find it a lot. And I think this like really hit on something that was like really core and important is like, I'm going to do what I want, but I also don't care about what you like. You're not asking anyone to do anything because of that. And I think that's a thing that a lot of artists miss. They're like, oh, I'm going to do what I want, but I deserve to have more YouTube views and more streams.
Of course, yeah.
And
I'm going to do what I want as long as it's also what you want.
Right.
You know, in some form or fashion. And it's, you know, it's different because when you talk about TV shows, right, the whole goal is to get the attention of the viewer, right? So it's different. And music, you know, I don't know. It's just, I guess when you're playing, but even when I'm playing shows, you want to give the audience a great time. Honestly, I'm having more fun than they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's so I don't even know what that means. But it was relieving to, like I said, remove the constraints and remove the expectation that I didn't create.
Yeah. So in that world of creating art, especially in things that you are like, I'm doing this because it's important to me. And we kind of hinted at it right before we started recording about like being adaptive, especially right now, being able to adapt and change things on the fly. And it's like being an art, creating art that you care about, that's special to you, kind of like forces you or gives you the greatest toolbox to be able to be adaptive and change things. Because inherently, when you do things that you care about, you kind of bounce around a little bit. You're like, I'm going to do something crazy. And like, that's my life. It's like, I'm going to do a little bit of this, like do juggling things. And then like, okay, like that led to me needing to do juggling videos. So I learned how to do videos. Now I'm like primarily videos and online content. And it's like, and now that's opening up a whole new world. But if I was like stuck in juggling world, I would be like, no, I'm a juggler. That's what I do. Then I wouldn't have had any of these cool things. So I think you're particularly good at that. I like just being like, oh yeah, I want to do this. Now you like know how to do this. And like one of like there the like YouTube videos that you have and you're like doing everything and there's like GoPro angles and it's like you're like hitting these like programming beats and then like doing all, and it's like doing all this stuff. And it's like so cool. And it's like that, and you had to just figure out how to do all that stuff. And paired with that is like now with the other work that you're doing is like now like one of those weird things that you've done, I bet you like call onto it. So do you have any stories of that, of just like doing some like crazy idea that you're like, oh, I'm going to use this like technology or something and program this beat or something. And then like years down the road or something, it came across and you're like, wow, I'm so glad I learned how to do that, because that turned into this like cool opportunity.
Chris, there are so many things like that. And it's like you, it's like what you said, where like, I wanted to make a video, but I wanted to make a video that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
So I Googled how to make this type of video. You know, I Googled how to make a green screen video, how to make five of myself playing instruments in one video, you know, and then I have the YouTube on one side and then the Premiere Pro on the other, and I'm making it. And now I know how to use Premiere, and then I know how to use the GoPro, and then I bought a drone, and now I'm flying the drone. Then I'm making music, and you know, yeah, I don't know if it's boredom or maybe not even boredom, maybe a little bit of ADHD, you know, in there a little bit. But it's not even that I wouldn't have, like, I have plenty of friends like yourself that would help me make videos all day long. But like, I wanted to learn so that I could use that in my development and my media skills and my creative skills, you know, and content creation going down the road. I think it's super important. It's like, I just kind of started getting good at this whole Zoom thing with my sweet little lights, my cameras, my stuff, right? So, and my multiple cameras. So like, you know, there may be a streaming thing here coming soon. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's mostly ADD and an interest in everything. You know, I guess I've always called myself a jack of all trades, master of none, whatever that saying is, right? Like, I'm pretty good at a lot of things. I'm not perfect at anything, but like, I just like doing a lot of stuff. And coincidentally, making videos, making music, taking photos, doing all these things kind of work in the same circle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like learning to do photography, learning what the word aperture means, getting a tripod, setting a timer, finding different backgrounds, doing lighting. I just bought a green screen setup. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just love learning. I love learning to create. I love creating. That's so cliche and lame, but like, yeah. I just like making stuff.
Yeah. And that's, there's like so much, I feel like, especially a few years ago only, the jack of all trades, people were like, well, no, you have to specialize in something. And it's a balance. Like, you have to special, you kind of do. But also, right now, the people that are making things happen have a video and audio studio in their living room. And it's a lot more than putting a camera on and turning the mic off, you know, as you,
yeah, it's,
you know,
it's a lot like, more than a selfie like, video. Yeah. People are really taking it seriously. And it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see people adapt like yourself and what you're doing and what all of our other friends have adapted and doing virtual shows and streaming, writing an EP, 5-song EP in 5 days on Twitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these friends of ours doing these cool things. And it's also sad to see the people who can't adapt and are sticking to their guns on the one thing that they love to do or the one thing that they know that they can do. And in these times, they're just kind of falling by the wayside. And I don't know. So it's beautiful to see and it's sad to see. I just hope that everybody can learn to adapt in some way. And the studios people are building at their houses are incredible. You know, I'm doing a lot of cartoon recording now these days and working with actors who are all recording at home, buying whisper booths, you know, and putting them in their house and setting up all this stuff because they're adapting. You know, and it's cool to watch. It's really cool to watch.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that. And touch on that a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that, like, you know, like, you're doing something that you probably would have never thought of? Like, how did that come about? Like, you're helping cartoon.
Yeah.
I actually don't know that much about what you're doing. I know you're working on remote recording for cartoons. Yeah. Like, how does that happen?
Right. So. Quick preface, I guess, you know, shutdown started March 2020, hasn't gotten any better. You know, the studio, I was at my studio, I was recording bands and doing all that stuff, but, you know, just travel stopped and everything came to a halt, had to adapt. Had an opportunity because Nickelodeon, they've been doing cartoons and animation doesn't stop. Everybody started working from home. The animators started animating from home and the storyboarders were storyboarding from home. And you know, they were doing the recording stuff in the studio at Nickelodeon, but they had to learn how to get the talent to record from home and us grab their recording on the remote side, and which is an amazing thing that they have created and is going to change the way music is written and collaborated with in the future, which is really crazy. You know, I can write and record with anyone in the world over Zoom and a couple other programs in real time with no delay. It's amazing things they're doing. anyways, cartoons never stopped because they're not live productions. So they just kept going and going and going and going. And I got a call that they're looking to hire more engineers to do these records with these people. And I jumped at the opportunity to try something different, you know, to try to do something different. And it's funny. It's opened a lot of doors. It's opened a lot of ideas in my head of what I thought I loved doing and what I liked doing and what I didn't like about what I was doing before. And now I'm laughing all day recording cartoon voices from comedians on the internet.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing thing that's happened, and it's not going away is the other crazy thing, because they're hiring more people and more shows and more things. It's adapting. The company has adapted.
Yeah, that's awesome. So paired with that, the episode after the episode that we're listening to right now, or the audience is listening to right now, the next episode that's going to come out is with Peter Hastings, who was a writer and producer of most of the episodes of The Animaniacs in the 90s, and did a bunch with Pinky and the Brain.
It's back, isn't it? Oh, I recorded the guy who does Pinky's voice the other day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you probably are crossing so many worlds. I it was so cool to see that. That's just like a lucky coincidence of like talking about that.
That's awesome.
And Peter does Captain Underpants. He just did Captain Underpants and then they're doing a new DreamWorks thing right now, and it's the same thing. It's incredible, and that'll be in the next episode. So
that's really awesome.
Perked up from animations and cartoon and voices, so it'll be a perfect segue into the next episode.
You know what's funny? If I could say one quick story, because it's a weird coincidence too. The guy who trained me, now that I'm working with Nickelodeon, his name's Ryan Green. He was a record producer for a million years. He did all of the NoFX records from the 90s, the Lagwagon records, all these punk rock records, Fat Records, all this different stuff. He worked at EMI, did Jay-Z records, and all this stuff. Anyways, you know, I was nervous about transitioning from doing music full-time to doing post-production for most of my time. But having somebody like Ryan, who came from music, was really comforting to know that he had just undergone this thing. And he, you know, was telling me how amazing it is to work on these cartoons, because their people are just great and all this different stuff. Anyways, come to find out later that all of the records I listened to that even got me in music in the first place, he did all of them. Produced every single one of them. I mean, my entire CD booklet in high school was produced by this guy. So me being nervous to not leave, but to change my musical trajectory into this cartoon world, only made me connect with the person who got me into music in the first place, who loves it. The world is a weird place. The universe does strange things, man. It's
amazing.
Fun.
I was like, we'll tie this up perfectly with that. I'll add a thing and I'll give you a chance to tie it up after that. I was just talking to somebody today about how I just like today, I got like literally a handful of messages, because I've been like putting out a little bit more stuff than normal, like more podcast clips. And then I posted just like a juggling video that was like no edit. I just put it in slow motion. And people were like, this is awesome. I got like messages from it. And it's that same thing. It reminded me of that, of just like leaning into, like, I don't know, I want to post a juggling video. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not selling juggling shows right now. I'm not booking juggling shows. I was just like, that's what I want to do. And people are like, whoa, that video was cool. You know, it's like sparked all these cool things. And like, I got like messages from my friends out in LA that I haven't talked to in like 3 years. They're like, oh, that popped up. And that was like super cool. So I love that thing of it's just like, yeah, because you said yes to a thing and it turned into a, you know, an amazing experience.
Dude, exactly what you're saying. It's like honesty and a genuine nature in your juggling video. It's like there didn't have to be a plan. Why does there always have to be a plan? Why does it have to be all these phasing and all these things to this grand? Just put out a damn video that you love and that makes other people love it just by that. You know, it's that's what I'm saying in this whole thing of like, once you just start creating for yourself, the audience comes, because they vibe off of what you're loving to do. They love to watch you do what you love to do, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
the Between Dreams motto is just go. It's like, you got an idea, make the video or make the podcast or make the book, whatever it is, whatever world people are, want a new job, go apply. You know, it doesn't even have to be creative stuff. And I think what you just did was perfect, but we'll give you one more chance to tie it all up. Maybe we'll bring back, I've been inspired here lately. I used to do we used to end every podcast with the memeable minute. So it would be a very easily digestible minute. And I think we really hit on some good stuff. So somebody that's listening, that whether they're in music or video or podcasting or photos, or that they have a day job at an office and they've been thinking about this thing, they're like, yeah, I have all these ideas, but I heard that you need to pick a niche and commit to that, or I heard that, you know, whatever their excuse is. And then they see somebody like you who's been on like massive worldwide stages and then going to small clubs on tour and then working with the biggest animation companies in the world. And you know, the every piece of that puzzle led, got you there because you were willing to just go and make it happen. What do you say to somebody who's like, yeah, I believe you, but when I wake up in the morning, the excuses or the reasons why I don't want to do it are just a little bit louder than all of the things that we just talked about?
You know, it would seem like there'd be an easy statement for that other than just like, just go and do it, right? Because I know it's harder than that a lot of times. But as cliche as it sounds, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I wanted to make music. I looked up where I'm supposed to go. It was LA. I moved out here. I lived in my car. I showered on the beach. I played open mics at 3 a.m. I cleaned toilets at recording studios until I met the singer of AWOL Nation. We wrote one song together. It became the biggest song that you know, it's like nothing will happen if you do nothing. You know, it's like, yeah, it may suck. There may be 2 years of no money, living couch surfing, whatever it is. But if you do nothing, nothing will happen. It will always be just a dream, right? So you have to step up and do what it takes. Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to put in the time, the sweat, and the tears to get this goal? You know. And the last thing I would say, going back to the honesty thing, is, you know, when you look at some of our favorite bands, like maybe let's call it some of my favorite bands, like the Radioheads and the Tame Impalas and the Alt J's and all this stuff, there's honesty to it. There's a genuineness about it. It's not this fabricated, okay, if I just do this and then I do this and then I do this, I'm going to get here, right? It doesn't work that way. It comes from here. It has to be honest and it has to be truthful. So before you start making this grand scheme of how you're going to become the most successful whatever in the world, make sure you're creating something that you believe in, that you love, that's for you and not for anybody else. Everything else will fall into place from there. That's the best advice that I got.
Awesome. Amazing. So, and even after you just said you're making most of the stuff for yourself right now, people, and that's the way to get other people to care about it. Where do you want to drive people to check out some of the stuff that you're most proud of or you want to
appreciate
want people to
it.
See
yeah.
It?
I mean, KennyCarkey.com. You can find, I have all of my music, all of my videos, all of my weird content, links to merch pages, link to SoundClouds, studio stuff, writing, mixing, producing. Like, you can find everything you need at KennyCarkey.com or at KennyCarkey on any of the social media. I'm making jokes.
Kenny Carkey, jack of all trades. All right. Thanks, man. That was awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
So good.
I hope I see you soon, too, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah.